From the Land Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of August, 2026. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom. We'll have updates from both the eastern and western legs of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Dave Chatterton will be here to discuss the agricultural energies, and Don Day will join us to take a look at the weather forecast.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day settled at $4.63 1/4, a penny and 3/4 lower. December down a penny and a half at $4.88. The March 5/04 down 1 1/4. November beans 3/4 higher at $12.16 3/4, though they had a high of $12.31 3/4 today. January at $12.31 1/2 finished a half cent higher. Bean meal up 90 cents. Bean oil $1.75. lower. Soft red winter wheat 8 cents lower at $6.81 1/4, and the hard red at $7.58 1/2, down 13 and a quarter. All of those in the December contract. Crude oil about 24 cents higher at $83.98 a barrel. Diesel fuel up a penny and 4 tenths at $4.32 1/10 of a cent. Naomi Bloom from TotalFarmMarketing.com now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hello, Naomi. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Let's start with soybeans. It was an interesting marketplace today. It was up fairly sharply and then turned around. What do you think happened?
Yeah, so bean prices working higher, just a combination of potentially now thinking that the flooding in the eastern Midwest may be going to be hurting yields. And then we caught wind that in Indonesia, they're having issues with palm oil production just because of the dry weather concerns with El Nino. So lower palm oil production would potentially mean higher demand for soybean oil. So that was another reason for that market to work higher yesterday. Today prices, the November beans getting all the way up to $12.31 3/4, getting close to the July high price point. But we didn't have enough immediate friendly news to justify prices to go through the July price high. Therefore, we saw some profit taking as the day progressed, posting a hook reversal lower today. And we'll see then what transpires for the rest of the week. So soybeans are going to be watching the crop tour that's happening this week. We're also going to be keeping an eye on option expiration on Friday for September options. Sometimes the market has a little bit of volatility depending on where the most volume and open interest is on those strike prices. So I'm kind of thinking that we'll see more of a sideways trading pattern this week. But in general, November beans for now still well supported above $12.
Yeah, the trend is your friend, as we know, and the trend remains up at this point for soybeans and corn, I suppose.
Yes, corn also. Now, corn's finished today a little bit of a hook reversal lower. Same thing, though. It got up to the July price highs, didn't have a reason to get through it, even though the crop tour numbers from yesterday, supportive overall as far as finding lower yield numbers. But some of that may be priced into the market. So we didn't have enough bullish news to get through resistance. Seeing some profit taking today. Overall, I feel like corn prices, similar to soybean prices, start to trade in a sideways trade pattern until we get a better handle for sure on where this U.S. crop is. Keeping an eye, of course, on demand as well. But the bigger news piece this week will just be the daily updates with what's happening with crop tour.
This is a tricky time of the year, particularly when you see prices climbing and you're fearful that they may roll over into a pre-harvest or harvest low. Turn your attention to other areas, some of the outside influences, particularly the wars in the Middle East and the Black Sea region.
Yeah, so you're very right on that. So a lot of the headlines today still talking about what's happening with the Middle East. President Trump was saying traffic was happening throughout the canal over there in that region, trying to get the energy markets moving and energy exports moving. And the crude oil market today was showing that. So the market is firm. Crude oil up about 50 points today, trading near $85 on the nearby September contract. Prices are firm just because there still is conflict there, but we're not seeing the marketplace trade dramatically higher because there is perception that oil is being moved in the region. Now, looking over at the Black Sea region, still more warring over there on a daily basis. And we're trying to get a handle on, are they able to export product or not? So that'll be something to monitor, because if they cannot get product exported, then maybe some of these other countries turn to the United States and we see additional demand for our corn or wheat just because of some of the bottleneck issues globally.
And finally, we are about 10 to 11 days from the start plant date, because they have one of those. It's related to Asian soybean rust in South America, particularly in the Mato Grosso area of September 1. They will want to wait on rainfall. You mentioned Indonesia and the El Nino, the issues with palm oil there. How important will it be for those producers to get started on time there, and how will the marketplace take that in and react to it if they do not?
Well, it's a huge deal, because now with the lower production levels in Europe and the United States because of our droughty issues this summer and now flooding in the United States, we have lower global ending stocks for corn and wheat both, and we have comfortable supplies for soybeans, but at the same time, we all know if corn and wheat rally, the beans are going to follow with it. So we do need South America to have a perfect crop. We need them to start on time. And that's important, not just for soybeans, but for corn. So if the beans don't get planted on time, then that means harvest will be late. And if harvest is late, then that means second crop corn, the safrinha crop, is going to get planted late. And then that puts that second crop corn under pressure during their natural dry time of the year. So it could be a big domino effect of what it would mean for global production, what it would mean for prices. So we are going to be watching weather markets from now until next summer in the United States. Again, just because the drought that had happened in Europe was the game-changing catalyst for this whole marketplace to go from bearish mentality to leaning now friendly mentality. So weather is everything going forward. And I do expect a lot of volatility around all of the weather forecasts, not only in the United States, but around the world.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Naomi Bloom. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. It's day two of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. We're now joined by Sherman Newland. He is on the western leg of the tour. Sherman is with Zahner Ag Hedge. This is his eighth or ninth year or thereabouts of being in Nebraska and Iowa, parts of South Dakota, running the same route each year. So I'm wanting to know, when you finished up the South Dakota yesterday afternoon, what you really thought of that crop to begin with.
I think USDA is pretty well on with their estimates, you know, being down. What we saw, you know, corn still needed some time to finish, to fill out and stuff. But we saw a lot of drought-stricken corn, a lot of short plants, not the best populations, right? Not the highest populations in the world. They're not going to add bushels, but they might try to keep what they've got. But if it doesn't rain, I think that South Dakota yield could come down. But that's just from what we've seen. I don't know what stuff looks like up north.
Yeah, the South Dakota tour number released yesterday was 149.09, USDA at 151. There is a differential for South Dakota, though I'm not sure whether this is the one they'll be using this year. It's around 4.5 bushels, so like a 145 would be what a Pro Farmer may come out with. We'll see what that looks like later. And again, that's an old differential, so it may not be correct. Now, more importantly, you've been traveling through Nebraska today. Tell me about the route you've been on and what it looks like.
Well, it's wet. We started out with pouring down rain. We haven't had to really stand in any rain. We've been able to make our stops fit, you know, wait a little bit and it'd quit. Sun's out now. It's getting hot. But road ditches are full. The fields are muddy, muddy, muddy. My truck is covered in mud because the roads out here, most of them are not paved on the side roads, right?
Right.
They're that Nebraska sand and gravel and stuff. So it's pretty sticky, pretty wet, been pretty sloppy. But, you know, I think we've had five stops. Our truck average is 189, which is behind from last year. The highest we've had was 226. The lowest we've had was a 121 non-irrigated. that had actually corn on 36-inch rows. But yeah, we're behind from last year. Bean-wise, beans are actually higher than last year by 17%. We've had some pretty good stops, finding quite a few pods on the bean plants. I mean, you know, most of the stuff out here is irrigated, and even the dry land doesn't seem to be too bad as far as beans go. You know, we've been in Hall, Hamilton, York, Polk, and Butler counties.
Anything else before I let you go?
I mean, you know, typical, there's some hail damage here and there, but nothing horrible. It's the typical on this leg of, you know, what we see, but it is down a little bit for the corn, you know, yielding things. But I don't think the Nebraska corn is going to be, at least from what we've seen irrigated wise, is going to be hurt too bad, right? But we are down from last year.
USDA at 183. Thank you much. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.
Sherman Newlin is with Zahner Ag Hedge. He's out of Hudsonville, Illinois, and traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. Just as a reminder, USDA had South Dakota at 151. The Pro Farmer Crop Tour put it at 149.09. And as I said, there is a 4.5 bushel adjustment there, a differential, but it is a minus or a negative 4.5 bushels. So that puts it down around 145.5 or something thereabouts. Nebraska, they had found 189 so far on their stops today. I did check with him after the fact, and two of the five stops that they were reporting for corn were irrigated. USDA has Nebraska at 183. The differential there, though, is a positive 14 bushels to the acre. Now, in Ohio, they found yesterday 180.18 bushel crop on the tour. USDA has it at 195. There is a positive 5 bushels there, so they're at 185 thereabouts if you put the differential in. And we're now joined by Oliver Slope. He is with Blue Line Ag Futures and had traveled through Ohio, parts of Indiana yesterday, and is crossing into Illinois as we speak. Oliver, you've had a busy 2 days so far. Tell me about what you've found.
Yeah, it's been a busy 2 days. It always is. It started a little bit less than ideal yesterday in Ohio. It was really, really wet. Had showers early in the morning as we got started, so we saw rain coming down. And then even when the rain subsided eventually, just a lot of standing water in a lot of the fields in Ohio, which made things a little tricky and a little extra muddy. But as we kind of worked through things, I think the general consensus with what we found was it was just kind of on par, which is in line with what we've heard from a lot of clients and farmers within the area that we've been talking to really over the last several weeks. You know, typically around this time of year, you've got a pretty good idea where the really, really good parts in the country are, where the problem spots are. But this year, it's kind of been more middle of the road. It's, you know, like almost like a Goldilocks scenario where it's not too great, it's not terrible, just ho-hum, so to speak. And I think that's largely what we found in yesterday's samples. We did quite a few samples in District 4 last year, and it's just below where Pro Farmer was in the year prior. So kind of in line with what the consensus was with their report yesterday evening. Now, as we moved into Indiana in today's movement, similar type of scenario where you got a Goldilocks scenario. I think the expectations have been, you know, pretty high. Whether we, you know, meet those expectations or not, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to. It's just kind of a ho-hum crop. Nothing fantastic, but nothing terrible either. You can see that, you know, with the early on moisture in the year, potentially played a role in some of the population counts that we're getting. There's certainly some disease pressure in areas as well, and pollination issues that has raised some concern. So we've been stuck in District 5 and 4 throughout today's route, the bulk of it coming in District 5, and we're just under where Pro Farmer was last year. I think last year they were at 194.13, and we're probably, I don't know, I'd say a good 5 to 10 bushels under that at the moment.
You'll be in Bloomington tonight for the event at the Doubletree at the Hilton, I take it?
Yeah, we will be there tonight. Looking forward to getting back to the hotel and talking to the other scouts, see what they saw along their routes, and put our heads together and see where we're at as a state in Indiana later this evening. Always looking forward to those numbers.
Hey, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Oliver Slope is with Blue Line Ag Futures. He's in Chicago and traveling on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour this week. He'll be in Bloomington at the event tonight. Do recall that Pro Farmer has two different events this week, the tour and the numbers released from it. Those will come out for both Nebraska and Indiana tonight at about 8 p.m. And then what their actual statewide numbers look like, those will come out on Friday afternoon. It's time to talk about the agricultural energies now. Dave Chatterton is here. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing. Hello, Dave. Thanks for being with us. I want to get an idea of where you are thinking this marketplace is headed now that we've reached the end of the 60-day period between Iran and the United States as it's related to a ceasefire, and what happens in the marketplace going forward.
Yeah, Todd, I mean, you know, the deal as we know it, or the memo of understanding, really kind of fell apart soon after it was inked and has really been on the sidelines since. So the expiration here is not necessarily a big upset to the current market. Both parties have shown really no interest in kind of coming back to the negotiating table and trying to either renew that agreement or go forward with a modified agreement. In fact, more, you know, Iran is threatening to expand their military offensive. We've got the Trump administration now threatening to bomb Oman. And, you know, things seem to be unfortunately getting a little bit worse before we get better. But the diplomatic, or I should say the path to a diplomatic solution here between the two parties, seems to be getting further apart as opposed to closer together. And right now, no real any kind of negotiations going on that we can at least identify outwardly.
You know, the fact of the matter remains the Strait of Hormuz is essentially closed, even if there are a few that get through, ships that is, each and every day. And I'm wondering how much impact the trade might be considering will take place between now and, let's say, the end of the year.
Well, Todd, I don't think the global inventory situation is looking like it's going to get better. We are seeing, I guess, we're having trouble, I guess, quantifying how much oil is actually coming out of the Strait of Hormuz or the Red Sea region. We'll call it the Middle East in general. And we've seen an adaptation by some of the, you know, particularly by the UAE and in Saudi and some of the other oil producers to use what we call a dark fleet to get oil out. In other words, they turn their transponders off. They're not officially recognized as ships that are navigating with oil. And there's smaller ships typically that are pulling cargoes back out into the open sea, either past Oman or past Iran to the south, and then loading them onto larger ocean-going vessels. So there's probably more oil getting out than what we can see on a loaded basis. But when we look at global inventories, you know, Q2 data just came out from the EIA. We had a 2.4 million barrel per day drawdown in global oil stocks. That's the largest in over a decade. If I look at where these global distillate stocks are, they're at three-decade lows as we get ready to head into this winter demand period, our fall harvest, followed by the winter demand period. So unfortunately, you know, it looks like the situation is probably going to continue to see tighter inventories here, and we're going to have a push-pull situation in the U.S. where our refineries are going to run full tilt, but a good portion of that product is going to be hitting in the export market. And, you know, we have no choice here but to have higher prices to kind of cut that off and keep it at home, if you will.
No choice. Does that mean that producers who have not locked in are simply at the mercy of the market at this point, and that's where they'll remain?
Well, to a degree, Todd. I mean, I think the geopolitical headlines are definitely driving the trade here. When we look at cash basis for ULSD or for farm diesel, cash basis is relatively normal or even a little bit weak for this time of year. And that tells us that, you know, right now it's the futures market that's doing the pulling, if you will. I suspect that basis market can heat up as we get into a little bit more of a demand period and start to have a little bit bigger pull on the system. You know, unfortunately, I mean, you know, producers without storage or don't have contracts, I think, like I said, you are at a little bit of the mercy of the market. I think it's you know, our advice has been to keep some working inventory in front of you. And I think that advice is more paramount now than it has been in the last few weeks as we start to get into the demand season here through the winter. And these inventory situations don't look like they're getting much better now. They're not critical. We're not like running out of fuel and seeing stations or terminals have outages. But certainly from a price perspective, it looks like there could be more risk to the upside than the down here, at least in the short term.
Thank you much. We'll talk with you again next month.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Dave Chatterton. He is with Strategic Farm Marketing. He will also join us on our Commodity Week program recorded this Thursday afternoon. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Don Day is here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hello, Don. Thanks for being with us. Let's start with the weather forecast for the Pro Farmer Crop Tour scouts that are in Indiana and parts of Illinois today, and then in Nebraska and headed towards Iowa, the southern part, this afternoon, at least in the western part of Iowa. Did anybody get wet?
Yeah, everybody. Everybody in those areas. You know, when we talked last week, we talked about this fetch of very moist air coming up out of the Gulf and out of Mexico and Central America that was going to curve around that big high that's bringing all that heat to the south. And it's just a thunderstorm factory when you get a pattern like this. And so it's not just one event, but it's multiple events put together over several days. And even at night, these thunderstorms have been moving through.
Certainly there was rainfall on the Midwest Crop Tour in Nebraska today, or at least parts of it. How much rainfall did they actually get?
Well, you know, these thunderstorms can bring varying amounts of precipitation. But what we've been seeing with these clusters of thunderstorms is that if you're under them, and as they move on through, they're dropping 1 to 2, sometimes 3 inches of rain in pockets. The amount of water that's been available in the atmosphere for these thunderstorms has been tremendous. So you don't tend to have huge swaths of amounts like that, but you tend to have very concentrated rain in pockets that can be that heavy. And over the last 10 days, these thunderstorms have been frequent enough to get just about everybody.
What we really need are cooler night temperatures now, which I think at least parts of the Midwest are getting, and sunshine. Both of those things would really make a crop go.
Yeah, we're still going to see thunderstorms at times. However, the intensity and the frequency of them will pull back a little bit from what we've seen here over the last week and a half. There still will be moments, though, where we're going to have clusters of thunderstorms develop in the high plains, drifting east-southeastward into the Midwest. But the general trend is for a little less rain and a little, not a lot, but a little bit cooler, especially at night in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, thank you much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report that came to you from Illinois Public Medium. It is public radio for the farming world, online, on demand at WILLAG.org. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.